one of the sweetest verses in the Bible, and I want to share that with you today. The Lord said some beautiful things. And I read the whole narrative so that you can get the picture. And then we'll talk about one lovely verse. Now at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid, veiled these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor, and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I think it's true to say, ladies and gentlemen, that the only person in history that ever said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. No other person in history has ever said anything like that. So we are looking at a very remarkable statement. The Lord Jesus had just pronounced judgment upon his own people because they rejected him. And he said that Chorazin, Bethesda, and these Capernaum would be brought down in judgment. And in the year 70 AD, Titus the Roman general came into Jerusalem and Judea. And there wasn't a stone standing. And that was fulfilled to the very letter. So when the Lord makes a promise, or when he makes a prediction of judgment, it always is fulfilled. But now he turns from his own people who had rejected him. And he turns to the Father in praise and worship. And he says, no man can come to the Father unless the Son reveals him. And after making that statement, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now I love that little expression, labor and are heavy laden. The word labor means to be exhausted doing a particular thing. I've often seen a lady doing her washing in the old country. And she puts out the washing to dry. Then she takes it in and irons it. And then she puts it out on the line to air. And down comes a heavy shower of rain. And she gathers it in. She throws it in the chair. She says, I'm finished. I'm beaten. Now, she is someone that's laboring. A young man was swimming the channel and breaking all records, and then he was asked to be brought in, and when he got into the boat, he just said, I'm finished. He was laboring. I've often seen a person walking for a long while, and then they can't go any longer, and they see a seat, and they sit down, and they give three puffs and they say, I'm finished. I'm beaten. Now that basically is the meaning of the word. Come unto me all ye that labor. Those of you who are worn out. Now of course it doesn't mean that we are worn out physically. But what it means is this. Here is a man in the Bible and his name is Saul. And he's trying to find God by good works. And he believes that if he keeps the commandments, he will get there. He looks at the commandments and he says, no, I've got to no fault to find with them. They're holy, they're just, and they're good. And so he tries to keep the commandments. And he tries for a long while. He's a young man with some moral muscles, because quite frankly we are told that probably he was one of the greatest moralists that ever lived. But he tried to keep those commandments and so be right with God. And after a long struggle, this is what he said. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. He says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin and death. And then he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? In other words, he said, look, I'm worn out. I'm beaten. I can't keep the commandments. Therefore, my good life will never take me to heaven. I'm finished. And Jesus said, Saul, come unto me, all you that labor, and I will give you rest. It's when we are beaten and we realize that we are beaten, then the Lord can bless us. Now here's another man, and he's a little different, and his name is Nicodemus. And when he was 8, his parents had him circumcised on the 8th day. That was similar to christening. When he was 12, he went to the synagogue, and he was a very intelligent boy. And he learned long paragraphs from the Jewish law, and he said them to the rabbi, and then the rabbi asked him a number of religious questions, and he knew all the answers, and therefore he came into his bar mitzvah. That was very similar to the confirmation in the Church of England. After that, I suppose he went to more schools, and because he was a very clever boy, they sent him to Jerusalem. And he wanted to train in religion. So he went to the university there, and being a very bright student, he got what we would call a gold medal. And then he was ordained by 5 rabbis, and they would all lay their hands upon him, and they would pour oil upon his head, and so he would become a rabbi. Then after that, he studied more, and he taught in the synagogues, and because he was a good student, they made him a professor at the university at Jerusalem. And so he had more religion than any of us. He was such a religious man that he would fast twice in a week. I've never met a Christian that would do that, but he did it. And then he would tithe all his possessions, everything that he had. He gave a tenth to the Lord. He would keep all the Jewish feasts. And if he lived today, and you saw him walking along the road, you would say, there goes one of the best kind of religious men I know. And you would say, that's Nicodemus the Great. But that man was worn out. And if you could have spoken to him privately, he would have said, look, I've been circumcised. I've been brought up by good parents. I've had my bar mitzvah. I've read the Bible. I've been ordained in the Jewish church. I'm a professor of the law. I'm a ruler of the Jews. I've got religion up to my eyebrows. But I'm not right with God. I'm worn out trying to keep all these religious observations, and yet I've got no rest in my heart. Jesus would say, Nicodemus, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now I could add to that over and over again. But you see, it's the person that's trying to change themselves and make themselves right with God, whether it by good works or religion, and yet they feel they've utterly failed, that's the person that Jesus wants to come to him. Come unto me, all ye that labour. Now the next word is different. It's the word heavy laden. It's a man that's buckling at the knees with a heavy weight on his shoulders. In the old country, in the old days, they used to have coalmen coming round the streets. And they used to shout out, "Coals." And us boys, we were a bit naughty, we used to mimic them. And then if he saw us, he threw a lump of coal at us. You see? And they would come round, and they had this coal in 200 weight sacks. And the coal invariably was pushed down a coal hole in front of the house, and that went down the cellar, and the people went down the cellar, and then picked it up. Now they don't have them today, but they used to have them. And sometimes the cellar and the coal hole was right the way through the narrow passages. And you had to go right through the house to the backyard, and then they would put the coal down. Now sometimes the old coalman had this on his shoulder, 200 weight, and the passages would be very narrow, and he would say, "Quick, madam, my knees are buckling, where's the coal hole?" He said, "Where's the coal hole?" You see? And he would tip it down. Now have you got the point? He was heavy laden, burdened down. Now, who is this like? There was a woman in John 4, and I suppose when she was about 18, she was very glamorous. I'm sure of that. And she was very fond of men. And she spoilt her life on sin. In fact, she had had 5 husbands. The one person she was living with was not a husband. At first, sin was attractive. But then it became a problem. Then it became a burden. And she was buckling at the knees. And once she was getting some water from her water pots. And the Lord said to her, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy, I will give you rest." Now there are scores of people like that. In their hearts they're laden down with sin. They've got a guilt complex. And they know it. They've read the Bible and they've read all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And they've been perfectly honest. They said, "Right, that includes me." They've read the Bible carefully and it says, "The soul that sins, it shall die." Maida said, "I'm in serious trouble. If I die, I'm lost. I've sinned." And they're heavy laden. They go to bed at night and they say, "Right, I hope I get through the night, because if anything happened, I would be lost." They go to church sometimes and they hear a faithful preacher and he warns them of the coming judgment. And they go out tormented in their minds. They realize they're guilty. They're heavy laden. They often go to various parties and they can tell a funny story and they can laugh as much as any person. But in their heart of hearts, they're heavy laden. They can be almost the chief person, creating fun at a party, but when it's all over, and when they're back in their normal home, the old conscience starts working. They're heavy laden. They're inwardly broken. They haven't told their nearest and dearest, but it's there. Now, says Jesus, "Come unto me, all ye that labour, and I will give you rest." What a message. Now notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, "Come unto me the indifferent. Come unto me the careless. Come unto me all those people that haven't got any. Now we've all got a need, but some of us don't know it. We're blind to it. It's when God shows you your need and you're aware of it, that's when you can come. And if you feel that you're worn out trying to make yourself better and you're no better, you come. If you feel like that other woman, you've got a guilt complex in your soul and it's ramping in your heart. It's like a nagging tooth. Then Jesus says, come unto me. But now, here's the hard thing. If you don't think you've got a need and you think you're all right, you're miles from God. In fact, you're right at the bottom. It shows that your conscience is so hard that God can't get through to you. Everyone knows that we've sinned. We all know we're guilty before God. And if you don't feel your need, you're in serious trouble. You see, that's the problem with cancer. Hundreds have it, but they don't know it. And if we knew it in its initial stages, it could be healed. But when it reveals itself, sometimes it's too late. And sins like that, we've all got it. Every one of us. But hundreds don't know. It's only when you're worn out trying to make yourself better, you feel it. Only when you feel guilty, that's when it's exposing itself. And Jesus says, when you've got a need, you come to me. I'll give you rest. Now notice, the person, come unto me. Now he didn't say, go to the rabbi. He didn't say, go to the rulers of the Jewish church. He didn't say, get circumcised. Have your bar mitzvah. Or to put it in New Testament language, get baptized by immersion. Take the communion. Take the mass. And so on. Simply said, come unto me. Now why? When he came into the world, he came into the world to save sinners. This is a faithful saying, says Paul, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now that's the hub of Christianity. When he died on the cross, he didn't die for good people. For there's none good. He didn't die for religious people, because there's none really religious. He died for sinners. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. And when he cried with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was bearing judgment for our sins. That's love. And when he said finished, he meant it. When he created this world, and when he finished it, he said it was very good. And what a wonderful job he made of creation. We know it's been spoiled by sin, but it's still beautiful, though damaged. But when he was on the cross, that was his masterpiece. And when he said finished, he meant this. So that God can forgive the sinner. I've tasted death. I've destroyed him who had the power of death. And everything has been done. Complete. And God was so satisfied with the work that his son accomplished, he raised him from the dead. And that's why Jesus can help us. If he were dead, he couldn't say, come unto me. How could you go to a grave and weep there? Impossible. So the risen Lord says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. You see, he has the power to deal with the root of our problem. What is it that causes guilt? What is it that takes away peace? It's sin. He says, you come unto me, and I'll give you the forgiveness of sin. And I'll give you rest. And it's not coming to a preacher. It's not going to a minister. It's not going to a group of elders. It's coming to Christ. Real conversion is an encounter with the living Christ. And ladies, I've seen that over and over again. People in a room like this, we have a nice cup of coffee, we have a good chat. The word of the Lord is given. The Lord stands in our midst. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. And then you'll see a lady going home. She'll close the bedroom door. She'll kneel down by the bed. And she'll say, Lord, I'm coming. And perhaps she'll pray that little prayer that we often sing. Just as I am without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. And she comes. She comes to Christ. She receives him as her own Saviour. And then he says, I will give thee rest. Now what does that mean? Well, it's resting from our labours. Resting from our religion. Not giving it up. When you become a Christian, you don't leave one church and join another. That's nothing to do with Christianity. Christianity is being right with God, not right with religion. You see. When you come, you rest from your labors. You rest from your religion and you say this, Lord, my good life will never save me because I'm a poor sinner. My religion will not save me. I'm resting from all those things. I'm not depending on those things any longer. Why? You're depending on Christ. My dear mother used to do a washing the old-fashioned way, and there were eight of us. And she had piles of washing. And she used to do it outside, in a great big bath. And she used to have a scrubbing board, a wooden scrubbing board. And she used to put the sunlight soap on it. I can see him. And she used to go up and down. And she used to sing hymns all the time. Up and down she would go. And although it was hard work, Mother really enjoyed that, you know. Then she would put it in a tub with it was a blue. I forget the name of the blue. Ricketts blue. And then she used to go like that with that old thing. And the sweat used to pour from her even in winter. Then she would have the old tap running and she would have a great bath of galvanized water and she would rinse them and then she would put them out on the line. And she used to stand back and watch it. She used to love her washing. But what hard work. Then we kept on telling her, get a washing machine. Useless. But she wouldn't get one. And there she was, even as a dear old lady. And from then, what hard work. And at last she got so weak. Oh, she says, I can't do this. I'm finished. And at last we got in. And she just watched the washing machine doing all the work. You see, she rested from her labors. You know, there's lots of people struggling hard to get there. They're making hard work and they never get there. You've got to rest from your labors and let Christ save you. And he will. And it's not only resting from our labors, it's resting in Jesus. Do you know what that means? I come and I say, Lord, I believe that when you die, you shed your precious blood. And through that precious blood, all my sins can be forgiven. You see, when he died, he not only died that your sins, a few of your sins might be forgiven. He died that they might all be forgiven. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. See, not just the few, but all. You see, now that is the great thing. He wants to forgive all our sins. Because he died for all our sins. Not just for a few of them. You see, it's the blood of Christ that can cleanse us from all sin. You see, we shall never get forgiveness by our own works. We will only get forgiveness by accepting it from the Lord. And he has provided that forgiveness through the blood. And therefore we rest from our neighbors. And we rest in the work that he did for us on the cross. And then lastly, and I believe this is lovely, rest doesn't mean to say that we sit down and put our feet up. It's not retirement. You see, Mother rested from her labors and she saw another power doing her washing. Now we rest from our labors and then the Holy Spirit comes into our bodies. You see, when God has cleansed us and purged us, the Holy Spirit comes into our body and he relives the life of Jesus in us. So it's no longer us living, it's Christ living. Now, this is what the Word says. Paul, when he became a Christian, wrote this. I am crucified with Christ. That's my old life, God. That life of struggling, trying to make myself a Christian, gone. That life of depending upon my religion to save me, gone. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So you see, it was Christ reliving his life in him. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So it's no longer you, it's Christ reliving his life. And that's conversion. It's Jesus Christ coming into a life and reliving that life in you. And you know, we see this with the old property in England. We see an old house that may be 150 years old, all dilapidated. And then a young couple get married. And they move in. And the place in a filthy condition. Now, they're not going to live in it like that. So what do they do? First of all, they scrub the place clean. Then they bring down all the plaster, all the ceilings, and you see them working. And then after they've poured down the ceilings, you see there's a revolution in the house. You see dust coming out the windows. And then one day you'll see an enormous kind of grid that's going to take away all the dust and the dirt and the old bricks, and it will remove it. You see, there's been a revolution. And then, back goes the plaster. New ceilings go up, new plaster on the wall, and it's from new windows go in. You see, it's the same old structure, but everything's being renewed. And then, you'll see the man coming to lay the carpet. Then you'll see the new furniture coming in. Now it's the same house outside, but what a difference inside. They've made almost a prison into a palace. You see, they moved in and renovated the house. Now when you become a Christian, you'll still have the same body. But the Holy Spirit will come in and he will bring in all the new furniture. Love, joy, peace, meekness. He won't spoil your life. He will bless it. And that's what Jesus meant when he said, come unto me all ye that labor, heavy laden, and and I will give you rest. Now the sad thing. The Lord says, come. 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 He says it in our infancy. Come. He says it in our youth. Come. Says it in our middle years. Come. Says it when we're getting older. Come. But we never come. And we close our eyes. And we die. And we've never come. And we lose our eternal souls. Because we never came. And millions go to hell like that. So in our little room, in all his love, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. May someone come today. Let's pray. Lord, we just pray that this little verse may become a real blessing to each one of us. Oh, what a dreadful thing it is.